And you have to be called to it. There's lots of people that are sent. And one way that you can tell that a preacher that's not being called of God, he doesn't know the gospel. He knows lots of other things, but he doesn't know the gospel. He doesn't know what it is to tell and point people to Christ. And really tell what the Scripture says. All they see in the Scriptures is what men ought to do instead of what Christ has already done.
Amen.
We don't preach a message what we ought to do. We preach a message on what has been done. And all of us feel often, I ought to. But if we live by what we ought to do, we'd stay discouraged all the time. We'd stay defeated all the time. And that's why I don't talk about what we ought to do. I ought to be a better preacher, but I'm not. I ought to be more dedicated, but I'm not. I ought to be more committed, but I'm not. So I have to do what the apostles did, and I have to pray. I have to seek the Lord. And if I spent my time this morning telling you what you ought to do, all of you would leave here feeling guilty, down in the mouth, saying, I'm going to change my way of doing. I'm going to start doing better. I'm going to start praying more. I'm going to start giving more. I'm going to start attending services more. And if I dealt with you like that, tell you how you ought to be out witnessing, how you fail your families, how you fail your children, don't witness enough to them. Do all those things. But that's not what God calls preachers to do.
No, sir.
He calls us, and this is the way you can always tell a God-called preacher. He's going to point you to Christ. He's going to point you away from yourself. Self is our problem. Christ is the remedy. Sin is our problem. Christ is the great physician. Weakness and inability is our problem. Christ is our sufficiency and our strength. Ain't you grateful? That's the way it is, aren't you? But here in verse 5 of Luke 17, it says this, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Anybody here would say that prayer? Lord, increase our faith. I want you to notice who asked that and who prayed that. It says, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. These wasn't just nobodies. These were apostles. These were men specially called of God, equipped of God, used of God. And when the last apostle, Paul, died, that was the end of the apostles. No more apostles. They were special men, gifted men, used of God in a particular and very powerful way. But it's the apostles that made this request. And what an important, what a needful request. Increase our faith. Increase our faith. And you know, faith is a gift. We're not born with it. It's not natural to us. I don't care how many preachers tell men and women, you've got faith, all you need to do is exercise it. Well, nobody's born with faith. Not the faith that trusts God. Not the faith that knows God. Not the faith that comes to God. Not the faith that commits itself to God. Not the faith that casts itself on Christ and Him alone. Not the faith that has Christ as its only and sole object. Not the faith that looks to Christ's blood and right. Men are not born with that. That's a gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. What is it? It's the gift of God. Gift of God. And I tell you, the Scripture says over there in Thessalonians that all men have not faith. And so here's these apostles. They said, Lord, increase our faith. Faith is the root and foundation of salvation. The Scripture said in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. People are trying to please God. They want to please God. I spent years trying to please God. But oh, beloved, it's satisfying. But he says, without faith, it can't be done. Without faith, you can't please Him. Without faith, there's nothing that He looks at about you. And oh, beloved, and I'll tell you this much about it. According to our faith, will be our peace, will be our hope, will be our strength, will be our courage. And look over here with me in 1 John chapter 5. Not only will it, according to our faith, will be our peace and our hope, our strength, our courage, but also, beloved, it gives us victory over the world. This world out here that's full of trouble and heartache and sorrow. This world that's just so negative. This world that's just so confused. This world that has just bad news. You turn on the news, just one bad thing after another. What makes us overcome this world? What gives us the victory over this world that keeps us discouraged, keeps us being discouraged and in an uproar about it? Well, look down in verse 4, it says this, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, our faith." What is it overcome the world? Our faith. Our faith. And now, beloved, there's degrees of faith. There's degrees of faith. Everybody don't have the same faith. Huh? There's little faith. Our Lord said, "Oh, ye of little faith." And then there's great faith. Our Lord said, "I've not seen so great a faith in all of Israel." There's weak faith, and there's strong faith. And you know, we're born babes. I was trying to witness to somebody the other day, and I was talking to them, and I was telling them about a little baby, you know. And that's why our Lord then, He said, "Except you become as little children, you can't enter into the kingdom of God." And those little children He's talking about are infants, babies. And babies, what can a baby do for itself? It can't give itself life. It can't clothe itself, can't feed itself, can't wash itself, can't walk. Can't talk, has no ability to do anything for itself whatsoever. Someone has to do everything for it. And our Lord said, "Except you become as that, you can't enter into the kingdom of God." And that's why He said, "You've hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes." And so, beloved, we're born babies. We're born when God saves us and regenerates us and gives us life. We're babies. Now, a baby has everything that they're going to have that they'll need to grow up into a human being. Grow up, they got the same amount of toes, fingers, eyes, ears. They got everything they need as an adult. And they start growing. And so when a baby's first born, he don't have but very little faith. And he begins to grow. And we grow in grace. And as we grow in grace, grace grows in us. And as that first beginning of faith, from faith to faith, as grace grows in us, the grace of faith grows in us. And how does it grow in us? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that's what we're telling babies. Where's your ear? Where's your nose? Where's your mouth? And we tell them how to say mama, say daddy, say papa. And that's what the Holy Ghost does to us. He starts teaching us. And as He teaches us, we react to that teaching and that love. And that's why they said here, "Lord, increase our faith. We're babies." And then, oh, look what else they said over here about increase our faith. Look what they done, said in verse 5. "And the apostle said unto the Lord," and they went to the right person. They didn't get some prayer line and say, "Preacher, I want you to pray for me that God give me faith. Give me faith to endure this, faith to overcome this, faith to overcome that." No. They made the request to the right person. They said, "Lord." This word "Lord" here is the same word as Jehovah in the Old Testament. This is God they're addressing. Amen. "Lord, increase our faith." They asked the right person. He's the one who gives it to us. He's the one who gave it to us, and He'll sustain it. He alone can cause it to grow. "Looking unto Jesus, The author, he's the one that begat this faith. He's the author of this faith. He produced this faith. And not only that, but beloved, the scripture says that he's the finisher of it. He'll be the one to bring it to its completion, bring it to its final state as we live with him in eternity. Look in Ephesians 4 with me, just a moment. Ephesians 4:7. Show you what I'm talking about here. He alone can cause it to grow. He's the author of it. He gave it to us. And I'm certainly thankful for what faith I have. It may not be much, but it's mine. The Lord gave it to me. It belongs to me. I don't want yours. I just want mine. I know where I got mine. Where mine come from? You know, a lot of people have faith that they were just passed on from generation to generation. I was raised a Methodist, I'll die a Methodist. I was raised a Baptist, I'll die a Baptist. I mean, I was raised, you know, and they have somebody else's faith. They have to, you know, I look in these things sometimes, and in some Presbyterian churches, the first thing they deal with in the morning is, on Sunday morning, is some article of the Westminster Confession. And then they'll go through that, and then they'll sing a little hymn, and they'll all say, an amen, and amen. And so that's a hand-me-down faith. They're living by somebody else's faith. Beloved, I don't want to live by traditional faith. I don't want to pass down. I want to live by the faith that God gave me.
Amen.
He gave it to me. It's mine. He gave me a portion of it. I don't know how big it is, how great it is, how strong, but it's mine. It belongs to me. Christ gave it to me. Did He give it to you, some of it? I can't share mine with you, you know. But look what he said here in Ephesians 4:7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Oh, I don't know what measure he gave me. But I tell you what, it's a measure he gave me. But oh, let's go back over here in Luke 17. But why did they now ask our Lord to increase their faith? What was going on that they said, Lord, increase our faith? Well, start back up in verse 1. Here's the first reason they said it. Then said he unto the disciples, it's impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. So they said, Lord, increase our faith. Because, beloved, he says, they heard him say, you know, offenses are going to come. It is absolutely not possible to live without offenses. And this word offenses means to cause somebody to stumble. It means to cause somebody to trip up. And that's what he says. And they say, Lord, when they understand this, that you know, these offenses are going to come. And what he says, but woe unto them to whom they come. And I mean, beloved, offenses are going to come, and we need faith. And that's what they said, Lord, give us faith. Increase our faith to bear these offenses that are going to come. And offenses, and I mean, how many offenses do come to us over the period of our lives as believers? Some things happen to us in our lives that absolutely cause us to stagger. That absolutely hits like somebody knocked all the wind out of you. When they told Peggy that when she went in there and they told her that you've got an aggressive cancer, it just, I mean, this wind goes out of her cell, my cells, and your cell. When we heard that, that causes us to stagger. That causes us, and all, beloved, in it, that causes us to stumble. But there are so many things that happen. You see marriages, they go bad. People sit among you and you enjoy their company, enjoy their fellowship, and their marriages go bad. And you understand, oh my, it causes you to stagger. How could this happen? How could believers who claim to be believers, how can their marriages go bad? And we hear about preachers quitting. And then you're looking at somebody that you have confidence in. You got utmost of confidence in. And you see them say something, do something, act a certain way, and that causes you to stumble. And oh, we need faith to bear offenses, and we're going to be offended. There's lots of things, and I hope by God's grace that I've come to the place, and there's lots of things that happen among people that I know, even people here, that'll cause you to stumble, because it's an offense to you. It's offensive to you. There's things that people say and do that's offensive. I hope and I not only do we need faith to bear offenses, but we need faith to not be an offense. We need faith not to be an offense to somebody. Huh? We need faith, and God increase our faith so we won't cause others to stumble. And I know I've done this over the years. I know telling how many people I've caused to stumble. How many people I've offended. How many people I've hurt their feelings. How many people I've caused to say, well, I used to like that preacher. I used to think a lot of him, but you know. And then, you know, not to cause other people to stumble by our actions. Oh, God, help our actions not to cause somebody to stumble. Watch what we say. Watch what we do. Watch how we act when we're in public. Watch how we act when we're around one another. Don't be so quick to be offensive. Don't be so quick to take offense. And then, beloved, by our words. You know, words. People say, and I read an article, I'm going to put it in maybe in our next word, but sticks and stones. And they said the fellow, I forget his name, who's come up with this. Way back in 1800, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words shall never hurt me. That's not true. Words are like knives. And the Scriptures tells us, beloved, that the tongue is a little member. I mean, it's a tiny member. But oh, it sets on course. It sets on course of fire of hell itself. And oh, beloved, and that's why we don't want to offend with our words. And you know how easy it is to offend with a word. If a man doesn't offend with a word, he's a perfect man. If he's able to control his tongue, he can control his whole body.
That's right.
No. And then, oh, beloved, not to be an offense by our character. Yeah. Let me tell you something here, and I'm going to get a little personal now. And I don't want to offend you. I really don't. But I need you to get a little personal. We often don't think that we can offend our families. But we cause more offense in our families than we do anyplace else. We offend our children. You know, a husband thinks he can't offend his wife, cause her to stumble. A wife thinks she can't cause her husband to stumble. Father and mother think they can't cause their children to stumble. But we certainly can. Can't we do it? How many wives has been offended by their husbands and cried? How many husbands have been offended by their wives and left the house angry? Huh? Oh my, oh Lord. Increase our faith. Increase our faith. I've told my children a lot of times when they was little and younger and still at home, I've apologized to them several times for the way I've acted, the things I've said, and the things I've done. Getting angry when I shouldn't have been angry. Popping off when I shouldn't have popped off. But oh, we don't want to be that way. Oh, Lord, increase our faith. We don't want to be guilty of offending one of these little ones. There you stand. You're God's children. You belong to Christ. He bought you and paid for you. He loved you before the world began. Called you by His grace. Separated you from His mother's womb. Revealed Christ in you. And why in the world would we offend one of these little ones? Would we hurt their feelings? One of these little ones for whom Christ died? You know, when a little baby goes to crying and them tears start streaming down their face and they go to snubbing and crying and all that, somebody picks them up and tries their best to comfort them, to keep them from crying. Oh, honey, what you crying about? What you hurt about? What's going on with you? That's the way we ought to consider every single brother and sister in Christ. When we see them hurt, when we see them tears in their eyes, when we see them grieving, oh, honey, what's the matter with you? Do our dead level best to give them some comfort. They're one of Christ's little ones. This never hurt one of them. This just don't hurt anybody. But let's especially not hurt one for whom Christ died. No wonder they said, Lord, increase our faith. I want to be able to bear offenses. And I certainly don't want to be an offense. And then look what else he said here. Why they said, Lord, increase our faith. Down in verse 3. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again unto thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. We need faith, and our faith needs increased, so we can give forgiveness. Give forgiveness. And look what our Lord says there in verse 3. First thing he said was, take heed to yourselves. First thing he says, take heed to yourselves. You know what the way we do things? We take heed to everybody else. Take heed to your ways. No, no. He says, you take heed to yourself.
Yes, sir.
You look at you. Start with you. The Scripture never, ever tells us how everybody else is supposed to treat us. It only tells us how we're supposed to treat everybody else. And take heed to yourselves. And this is not someone else. Take heed to yourselves. And that's what we want to do. We want to always be concerned about what somebody else is doing. But what about us? Take heed to yourself. And then he says here, if thy brother trespass. Trespass. Now first, he says a brother. A brother, trespass. And you know what trespass means. When they go on property that don't, you know, people put up no trespassing signs. Don't go here, don't go there. When somebody trespasses, goes beyond what they ought to go towards you. Goes beyond where they ought to go as what they say to you, how they treat you, how they act towards you. And if your brother trespass, if he gets on your ground, ignores your signs, ignores your property, your feelings, your word, your actions, your heart, if a brother trespass, and you go to him and this word rebuke, it means tell him. Say, you know what you just did? Do you know what you just did? And he says, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize it. I'll change my mind. You know, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have acted that way. And repentance is, I'll change my mind. I'll change my opinion. I'll change what I think. And I'll change. And then he says, forgive me. Forgive me. Huh? What do? You forgive him. You forgive him. And let me show you something over here. Let me show you in Colossians 3:12. Let me show you this. Look in Colossians 3 with me just a moment. You know, charity, this is what I love about being a believer. You know, men talk about sins that they commit outward in that. But our sins have more to do with our spirit and our attitude than it does with our words. And charity covers a multitude of sins. And then look what he says here at verse 12. Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, your holy and your beloved. Because God elected you, chose you. And these bowels of mercy means your very inward, your very soul, your very heart. Bowels of compassion, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Watch it now. Forbearing one another. That means more than just putting up with somebody. Everybody can put up with somebody for a while. But this is not just putting up with somebody. We can all put up with somebody for a while, can't we? We put up with a lot of stuff for a long time. But this is not just putting up with somebody. for bearing these that you actually take them the way they are, as they say, warts and all. And you take them the way they are and you forbear with them. You actually have compassion. You actually have kindness. You actually have meekness. And you forbear with them. You love them and you know that's the way they are. And they're not going to change. And unless God does something for them, so you just forbear with them. You don't just put up with them. Say, well, I'll just put up with it till it's over and done. That's not what he's talking about here. Wouldn't it be awful to have to go through life just putting up with this one, putting up with that one? Wouldn't it be awful if I put up with you and you put up with me? You putting up with me this morning for 45 minutes? And oh no, forbear, beloved. Listen to this. And forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, you do the same thing. Now listen. And above all these things, put on charity. That's the bond of perfectness. Oh, that'll make your relationship perfect. That'll make you, that you don't, talking about making things right. Bond, it binds you together, keeps you together, causes you to love one another. Let me show you something over here in 1 Peter right quick. Let me show you this. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. Here's one of them special verses of Scripture. Look what he says there in verse 7. 1 Peter 4, 7. But the end of all things is at hand. The end of life, the end of troubles, the end of heartaches, the end of the world, the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. And here's the thing to do above everything else you do. Above all things you do, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Ain't that amazing? Ain't that charity covers a multitude? I mean, you think, boy, I tell you, I'm not going to put up with that one more time. Oh, yes, we are. Yeah, we're going to do that. And we're not going to say anything about it. We're just going to, we're going to love and we're going to cover it up. We're going to leave it go. And back over here in Luke 17, I want you to see this. We need faith to put up with much and look over much. We really do. I know you need, Lord, increase our faith that I may put up with the preacher. He goes on and on and on. Says the same thing over and over and over. And you, I know you need faith to put up with much and look over much. But look what it says here in verse 4. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, you say, oh my goodness, ain't no. Wait a minute. There's got to be an end to this business of forgiveness. There's got to be an end to this business of putting up with. There's got to be an end to this. There's got to be a time when you just say, I ain't forgiven enough. That the next time you do that, I'm done with you. If he trespassed it seven times in a day, Mary, have I done that to you seven times in a day? That's what I'm talking about. And I wished everybody had a marriage like her and I did. That's what love does. I mean, when something's said and done, it's just done like that. It's over and done with. That's what love does. Just covers it, don't it? It's over and done with. And then look what he says. And seven times in a day, turn again to you saying, I repent. What are you going to do? There's no end to it. We just keep on forgiving and forgiving and forgiving and forgiving. And I tell you, not only that, you know when we'll quit forgiving? When we no longer need forgiveness ourselves. Huh? Oh, I'm going to read you a verse. I won't have you to look at it. I'll read it to you. But I may read this verse of Scripture to you. It said, you know, we'll forgive until we don't need forgiveness ourselves anymore. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you.
Amen.
Ah, boy. And look back over here now again. Let me go. My Lord's going to. They said, Lord, increase our faith. When you talk about forgiveness, we need, Lord, increase our faith so that we have a tender heart. We have a forgiving heart. And not only a forgiving heart, but a forgetting heart. A forgetting heart. And look at our Lord's encouragement to faith here in verse 6. And the apostle said, Lord, increase our faith. In verse 6, and the Lord said, he gives them some encouragement to it. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be planted in the sea. Oh my. Our Lord said, encouragement, if you had faith, and look what he describes the faith and how much the faith is. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now all of y'all plant mustard a lot of times, greens in the winter. And you plant that mustard. How big is a mustard seed? I mean, you can't hardly see it. He said, if you had that much faith, he said, you could tell that tree. And you know what? And he's not talking about little trees. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about obstacles. Amen. Something as big as a tree. You know, that's what he says. You know, if you got a, you know, you're trying to get a mote out of a brother's eye when you've got a cross tie in your own. And that's what he says here. You know, you got this great big tree in front of you, this obstacle, and you can't get around it. You can't get over it. You can't climb it. You've got something that you can't deal with. And it's so big, it's like a huge tree. And you can't get up. You can't climb it. And if you try to climb it, you fall back out of it and you hurt yourself. And he said in another place, you could say unto this mountain, be thou removed. And he's not talking about literal mountains. He's talking about great obstacles that come to us in our lives. Heartaches and sorrows and trials and griefs. And losses and crosses. And that's what he's talking about. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. It's who the faith is in. It's not the amount of the faith. It's if it's in Christ.
Amen.
They went to the right place. And our Lord said, if you had that faith, you had faith of a grain of mustard seed. You say, I ain't got no faith. And you think, I ain't got none. Oh, he says, listen. And I tell you how many obstacles has been in your way and things you went through in your life and said, Lord, there's no way I can bear this. I can't deal with this. I'll never get through this. I can't handle it. It's just more than I can bear. And yet, you do. The tree's gone, ain't it? The mountain's gone, ain't it? Oh, bless His holy name. You know how we do? We're right before the Master doing just like they did. Lord, increase my faith. I can't deal with this. Lord, help my faith. I'm too weak. I don't have the ability. I don't understand this. I can't handle this. This is more. And then we don't voice this out, but we do it before the Lord. And what has happened? The tree's gone. We don't have to climb it. No danger of falling out of it. And the mountain's gone. You know, there's this old song he used to sing all the time. Lord, this time you gave me a mountain. That's all God gives His people. He gives you, what might be, everything's relative. What might be an ounce to you might to somebody else be just a molehill. It's according to how, God ain't going to give a baby a mountain. He's going to give a baby just a little bitty obstacle he's got to get over, crawl over. But as you get older and you start growing, you start getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Until like Abraham, the last trial he had, take your son, your only son.
That's right.
You know, and I know dear Brenton, dear preacher friends of mine, dear men of God, people that I love dearly and other people, that God waits till their old age and gives them some of their greatest trials. Live with somebody for 50 or 60 years and then you part with them. See people that you love wither away and watch them lose and get sick and lose all their health. Walk and put your mothers and your daddies and your sons and your daughters. Those are mountains. And you say, how did you get through it? You had faith, a grain of mustard seed. And they're all gone. Ain't they gone? Ain't they gone? And ain't that wonderful how the Lord increases our faith? And let me show you over here in Mark. Look over Mark with me right quick. I don't mean to be taking so long. Look here in Mark with me just a moment. Mark 9, verse 23 and 24. And what our Lord's saying to those who have faith, all things are possible to him that believes. He said here in verse 23 of Mark chapter 9, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, he's talking about his child and all that his child's going through. And he can't do anything for his child. He asked the Lord to come and do something for him. And our Lord said unto him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And now watch what this, the first thing this father said. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. I really do. I believe. I come to you because I do believe. I come to you because I got a need. I come to you because my child's in trouble. And I come to you, Lord, I believe. I really, really believe. Help thou my unbelief. All in the same breath. I believe, Lord. Help my unbelief. That's what these apostles said. Lord, increase our faith. You called us to face things that we can't face. You called us to fulfill our trespass seven times forgiving. That we're going to have offenses and we're going to be in offense. Oh, Lord, Lord, increase our faith. Where will we get the strength to bear the offenses? Where will we get the strength not to be offensive? Where will we get the strength at the same time to forgive those who offend us, to face the obstacles, the trees and the mountains? Lord, increase our faith. It's got to come from above. And let me hurry real quick. Now back over in our text. I took way too long. Here's another reason why we say, Lord, increase our faith. He says in verse 7, but which unto you, which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doeth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. I don't think so. No, he won't. So likewise you, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which our duty to do. And what he's saying here is we need faith. Lord, increase our faith for true humility. Now let me show you what he's saying here. The servant worked. He did what he is told. And when he comes in from the field, when he comes in from doing his work, is the master going to say, now you deserve a rest now. You go sit down, take life easy, huh? And go sit down. But no, what does he do? Wanted to be, say, rather, you make ready for my supper. You're my servant. You belong to me. I'm the one paying you. You make ready for my supper. And you gird yourself. You gird yourself. You clean up here and you make supper and gird yourself and serve me. And when I'm through eating and I'm through drinking, afterwards you can eat and drink. And oh, beloved. And then look what he says in verse 9. Does he thank that servant? He says, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Because he did those things that were commanded him, he just done what he's told to do. Huh? By this shall all men know you're my disciples. Why? Because he that loveth me, what is he going to do? He's going to keep my commandments. Now look what he went on to say here. Does he think that's serving because he done what he was commanded to do? Huh? When your boss gives you a paycheck at the end of the week, he says, thank you for putting in those 40 hours. They call you in the middle of the night and say, boy, you got to come out. We got this thing going on. Go with it. No, he don't think. He don't say, get out of here. If you don't get out here and get to work, he said, I'll fire you. But, oh, no. And then what he's saying here, can we put our master in debt to us? That's what he's saying. He said, this fellow goes out and he does what he's told to do. He goes out and he works in the field. He takes care of the cattle, does whatever he's supposed to do. And then when he comes back, we're going to put the Lord in debt to us now. Lord, I've done everything. I've worked hard today. I'm going to rest a while. I'm not going to do nothing else. I'm just going to rest a while. No, no. Can we put our master in debt to us? He owes us first. And he says, sit down. No, no. We'll not sit down till we sit down in the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then look what he says there in verse 10. So likewise ye. Now listen to it. When ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. Huh? Now, this takes something. It takes some humility. This takes some grace. This takes some faith to say, I'm absolutely no profit at all. Anything I've done is not profitable at all. I'm an unprofitable servant.
That's right.
And that's what he says here. He said, you've just done what you're supposed to do. You ain't done nothing special. And that's what preachers want you to do. They want you to make you done something special. You're really special. God just can't do without you. God thinks you're the greatest thing since the electric light. You know, God really needs you. He ain't got nothing. He can't do these things without you. He made mothers because he couldn't be everywhere at the same time. Oh, listen. And how in the world can a man call himself unprofitable no matter what he does? Lord, increase our faith. We can't call ourselves unprofitable. You know what we're going to do? We say something, do something. Look at my light. I'm going to blow it so you see it good and clear. Here's my chuck. Did you see what I just did? No, no. Our Lord said when you... And listen. Look what he says here. When you've done all... Anybody here done everything that he knows to do? Have we all walked in the light that we have perfectly? Completely? What are you going to say about yourself? I'm an unprofitable servant. Oh, beloved, when you've done everything you've been commanded, we still have to say, Lord, I'm no prophet. That's what the world... Lord, what have I done for your glory? What have I done with a pure heart? What have I done with a pure motive? What have I ever done that honored you completely and perfectly? Huh? You see, beloved, it's not how much we do. It's not even what we do. But it's in what spirit we do. Cain and Abel, two brothers, they both come to bring an offering. The Pharisee and the publican come to offer prayers. But what a difference between the two of them. Cain brought the works of his own hands, tried to put God in debt to him. Abel brought blood. The Pharisee come and bragged about all he had done and was going to do. The publican smote his heart, breast, and said, I'm a sinner. Lord, have mercy on me. They all come. They come to the same place, but there's a world of difference in the way they come. A world of difference in their spirit and attitude. And that's why he says we're unprofitable servants. And what a difference between them. And I'll tell you this, beloved. Without Christ, without His blood, and His righteousness, nothing we ever said, nothing we ever thought, nothing we ever did would be acceptable to God. But, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. Listen now. Wherein He hath made us accepted.
Yes, sir.
In the Beloved. Huh? Were you accepted at? In Christ. What'd you do? Nothing. He did it all. To Him be the glory. Huh? That's it. That's it. We're unprofitable. But He's not. We ain't done all things. But He has. He has. Our Father, our gracious God in heaven, blessed be Your holy, righteous, blessed, blessed name. Thank You for the day. Thank You for the mercies. Thank You for the grace given us in Christ. Thank You for the dear saints of God and their attention that was given today. God bless the word to our hearts, our understanding. Thank You, Lord. And Father, I know every believer here today cries out, Lord, increase our faith. I know we do. We ask You and thank You in Christ's name. And as we gather to eat, bless our time together. Thank You for every hand that prepared the food, all the love and care that went into it. Thank You for the love You put in our hearts for one another. We thank You for it in Christ's name. Amen.